He says he's by the entrance. Okay. So, where do I walk? Start.
It's a beautiful morning in Amsterdam, and I'm pressing start on my phone's GPS in hopes of navigating to the museum to meet this week's guest, who's just texted me to say he's waiting at the entrance. I'm embarrassed to say that even with GPS in my hand, I got completely turned around. I started walking the wrong way, the GPS recalibrated, and you can probably guess where it goes from there.
That's gotta be it. That's gotta be it right there, I think.
Nope, that's definitely not it. Nearly 10 minutes later, I've walked the wrong direction, all the way around the back of the museum. In this moment, as I'm trying to push away the shame of having gotten lost, it strikes me that this is indeed my immigrant experience. I'm trying to get to know this new place, and am still reliant on the GPS to get me the shortest of distances, even years after I've moved to the country.
I still can't seem to find the entrance to this place.
As I start to get desperate, I finally ask a passerby for help.
Basically, about the Allard Pearson High, Allard Pearson Museum.
Yeah.
Echt.
Ja,
oh, hey. Geweldig.
As it happens, he's going to the museum as well to see the Egyptian portraits on display. He tells me in Dutch that he's seen the exhibition and it's excellent. Right. Finally, he guides me to the museum's entrance where Youssef is patiently waiting.
I got so turned around. I must have walked completely the wrong direction.
Well, I guess it just takes a while to really get used to living in a new place. You're listening to the Start With Your Name podcast. I'm your host, Lee Kaplan. I became an immigrant in 2020 when I moved from Brooklyn, New York to my new home in the Netherlands. With every episode of this podcast, immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers will have an opportunity to share their story. And we will have an opportunity to listen. Just to listen. And perhaps gain new insights into what it's like to leave everything behind and start all over again. Each episode is an exploration of someone's lived experience, their background, their hopes and dreams, and the story of what brought them to a new country far from home. And that begins, quite simply, with their name. Today's episode, Youssef.
I never had the chance to see these portraits. There is only one in my home city in a museum, but there is, I think, around 1,000, from 900 to 1,000 portraits. So it's nice to see it in Amsterdam.
Youssef and I are meeting at the museum to see this collection of 2,000-year-old portraits that came from Fayoum, Youssef's home city in Egypt. The portraits once appeared on the outside of Egyptian coffins, giving a sense for how the person appeared when they lived. Youssef told me the exhibit is very special to him and that he'd like to tour it with me. A quick note, since we recorded this episode in a museum, you'll occasionally hear people's voices and the sounds of the museum in the background as we're talking.
And that is what is unique about this portrait, because it combines ancient Egyptian beliefs and culture, and also the Greek and Roman art at this in this period. So it was quite unique to see faces over the mummies' coffins.
Youssef, a 30-year-old soft-spoken Egyptian man now living in the Netherlands, fled his homeland about 9 years ago, leaving all of his friends and family behind. He is wise beyond his years and speaks very thoughtfully as he recounts the journey he's been through to find a safe place to live, far from the life he once knew.
After 9 years outside Egypt, so it gave me a little bit feeling of feelings a home taste, if I would say.
A taste of home.
Yeah, a taste of home.
Once we've finished touring the exhibition, we find a mostly quiet little nook downstairs where we get to talking.
My name is Youssef. It's also pronounced sometimes as Yusuf. I like my name. It's quite a universal name. It exists in every language. My grandfather from my father have the same name, Youssef. So yeah, I asked if I was just named after my grandfather name, but then they said no, we just found it as a beautiful name.
Youssef was born in Saudi Arabia while his Egyptian parents were working there at the time. They lived there for 5 or 6 years before returning to Egypt, where Youssef began attending primary school. He comes from a middle-class family, has two younger sisters and fond memories as a kid of cycling, playing football, and racing with his friends to the top of the pyramid steps. He attended a very good school in Fayoum, where he learned Arabic and English, and even discovered an interest in the arts.
From very early age, I think, from like 9 years old, I was interested in theater and acting. I think it's all started with reading. I was very interested in reading. Teachers always give me the role in the class to read. There was one teacher who was like responsible for the acting group, for the theater group, theater activity in the school. And he was also a teacher in Arabic. So yeah, when he saw me read poetry, for example, or other texts, he said like, maybe you could join the theater. Yeah, we did lots of plays, like some classics or sometimes like funny plays, or sometimes also it can be related to educational purposes for other students.
I ask him if he remembers any particular performances, and he tells me about a comedic show he once did for the students. Youssef tells me his work won him the Best Actor Award at the end of that year.
I did like an authentic role of a very local Egyptian funny role from the south of Egypt, but I was saying that in English. So the whole students was laughing so much because it's the first time to hear such an very authentic accent and very local accent in English.
He was in his third year in secondary school on January 25th, 2011, when the Egyptian Revolution began and everything in the country changed. After 28 years under dictatorship, and for the first time since gaining independence from Britain in 1952, Egypt took its first steps toward becoming a free democratic country. As we start talking about this moment, he quotes Barack Obama.
We saw a new generation emerge.
He praised the revolution at that time, and he said, like, we should raise our youth as the Egyptians, we should learn from what they did.
Youssef remains very proud of what the people of his country accomplished during the revolution.
It started with small groups in different cities, but mainly in Cairo. Like, we want this country free, we want this regime down, we want social justice, we want bread.
What?
Bread.
Bread?
Yeah. People were asking just for bread. Like, this was the most popular chant at this time. عيش حرية عدالة اجتماعية, which means bread, freedom, and social justice. All people just joined, like people from the markets, people who were sitting in their home or apartment, people who stopped their cars and joined, and it was like uncontrollable at this time.
As we learned with Mohammed in our first episode, it took less than a month of peaceful protests for the dictatorship to fall and for a wave of democracy and freedom of expression to sweep the country.
When the regime was down, the first thing people started to do is just cleaning the streets. It's like the country's going back. It's like the feeling of independence again. And we were like the first generation who entered a free atmosphere university. So there was lots of activities and lots of movements inside the university, and we were managed to do lots of things that older generation didn't do that.
Youssef entered university shortly after the revolution began and immediately became involved in activism on behalf of students' rights, fighting back against some corrupt rules and teachers left over from the previous regime.
If I really want to see a change in this country, so I should start from the place where I am. And the place at this moment was the university. So I joined and established some movement with other students, just for the rights of the students inside the university.
In 2013, however, the move to democracy came to a screeching halt as a new military coup restored dictatorship in Egypt. Youssef's activism at the university and in mass protests got him in trouble.
It was quite known to the authorities. We as a student union at this time were just asking that the university, the campus, stay safe. It's not a place where the police just enter it to shoot gas or rappel bullets or make it an unsafe environment for education.
The night before the beginning of the academic year, the new regime conducted a huge arrest campaign against hundreds of activist university students. Youssef was a target.
There was a big forces came into my home around 3 or 4 a.m. I was sleeping, getting ready for the first day of school next year. And then, I was just shocked and surprised by lots of masked people and armed in black all.
And were you living by yourself or you were living with other people?
I was living by my family.
They came into your family's home?
Yes.
And were you the only one that they took?
Yeah. They were looking like, where is Youssef? So I said, I'm Youssef. They looked actually like they didn't believe, like, this is Youssef we are looking for. Like, it was like very big forces, but coming to just arrest a student.
How was your family reacting? Was everybody scared? What was it
yes,
like?
Yes, it was like a very, very, very strong shock for them. No one expected that at all. I didn't even also expected that at all. I didn't do anything that would be wrong or make them do this, but this is the way they do it in Egypt. And then they said, like, we just need you till the morning. And this is the way they say it in Egypt, like, you only come with us till the morning, but this morning can last for a year, 2, 10 years. Till now, I still know some people who are still in prison.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I went out of the building where my home is. Yeah, there was lots of cars and lots of horses. It was like 7 cars, I remember, police cars. At least 30 or 40 persons. So, yeah, it was like surprising for me, all of that just for me. I'm not that dangerous. I was blindfolded with my t-shirt at this time.
Youssef tells me he was taken to a place he was completely unfamiliar with and says he was forced disappeared, so that those trying to help could not even locate him.
There was also some kind of torturing or... it was a terrible experience, actually.
Youssef, I'm really sorry to hear this.
I was just like attached behind my back, like my hands behind my back in metal bars from the window or something. I was sitting all the time and sleeping on the floor. It was like an office. And I have only one chance during the day to enter the bathroom or toilet. My total period at this time was around 7 months.
You were detained for 7 months?
Yes. Prison is a prison anywhere, but in Egypt it's different also. Unhumane conditions, I would say. And then they start, after the 3 days, to do like the procedures, like there is a case and there is an investigation and there is a court and things like that.
But what were you doing during all this time? Did they move you to a different place?
Yeah, you move from a place to another place, from a prison to another prison. Like there is a big prison, there is a small one. There is one related to the court only, there is different ones. Just lucky to get out. Lucky first time to get out and lucky second time to get out of the country.
Youssef was released on bail, which he says was certainly no guarantee since many of the judges were corrupt and already in league with the new dictatorship. As fortunate as it was for a judge to grant Youssef release after 7 months, what surprised him even more was where the money for his bail came from.
There was lots of love in the university, like lots of fellow students was remembering me and doing some protests inside the university asking for my freedom. The number was like 10,000 Egyptian pounds. Every student is just like, this is 1 pound, this is like 4 pounds, this is like 10 pounds.
So this was a fundraising campaign to get you out of prison?
Yeah. Like my family paid what they could, and also my other students, my other fellow students did that.
That's extraordinary.
I was actually also surprised that there was a whole campaign going on inside the university.
How did that make you feel when you found out that your fellow students and your family got you out?
I felt actually I didn't deserve all of that. But yeah, it was just much love and felt overwhelmed actually. Inside the prison, I was wondering all the time, what did I really do wrong? Like, if like loving the country so much is a big mistake, is wanting to make a good change a big mistake? And why our own people, the Egyptian, is doing this? Like, why we are doing this to each other? Like, if someone is really loving his own country, why would be against it? And then I met some students I never met before, and they know me. And they said, like, we heard of what you did before, and that's why we were asking for your freedom. When I got released, it is such an extraordinary moment where I will always remember. There was lots of colleagues and friends waiting for me outside the police station where I got released. This was also kind of dangerous for them, like they could also get arrested for being such a huge group waiting for someone who was just released. But they couldn't prevent themselves from waiting and meeting me. They celebrated me so much and there was lots of hugs. They took me all the way back to home and they stayed under home and celebrated me.
Despite the momentary relief of being home, he'd learned some very sobering lessons through the experience.
At that point, I realized that some things in life come with prices. Like, we know from deep our hearts that to get the country freedom, we have to pay some price, right? Some people was really ready to pay this cost to feel a free democratic country again. So at this time, I was very strongly believing that if everyone traveled out of the country, who would make this change?
Even with his willingness to pay the price for helping to guide the country back to democracy, his family and friends were trying to convince him to be safe and flee.
I'm in danger now, and I could be detained or arrested again. So I have to travel out of the country. I found it like nonsense because, like, why? Like, if it have to be like that, then this is a price we are paying. At the end, after long talks and some pressure from my family and friends, they were all caring about my safety. And if I stayed longer in the country, there is lots of possibilities that I got arrested or detained again. I had to travel outside of the country. And because I didn't really want to do this, I had no plan. Like, I was just out of the country. And now what?
Youssef's story continues in our next episode. Here's a preview.
So you had to sit there with your friends, knowing that it was the last time you were going to see them, and you couldn't even tell them that you were leaving.
No, I couldn't.